So today we are going to consider the relationship between the church and the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. And we're just going to use scripture. We don't have to make conjectures and so forth. We'll just do conjectures. Again, Daniel prophesied in about 600 years before Jesus came, that in the days of the fourth kingdom, which would be the Roman kingdom, we talked about many times, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. And so, historically, here we are in the days of the Roman kings, that fourth kingdom. And we're in the 15th year of Tiberius. Tiberius began his rule in A.D. 14. So we're about in the year 29 A.D. And Jesus, John the Baptist, had begun his ministry, and about 6 months later, Jesus began his. And early in his kingdom, or his ministry, he was asked the question, you know, how do we pray? How should we pray? And he said, pray in this manner, therefore, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, thy will be done. That was the first part of his prayer. So early in the ministry, Jesus is stating that the kingdom of God had not yet come. And I think there's an interesting point here. You know, it's like, well, what about the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Judah, you know? But the kingdom of God has not yet come. A little bit later, when John was in prison, he sent some disciples of his to ask Jesus the question. When the men had come to him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? And we spent a lot of time talking about what was in the mind of the Israelites, the Jews, concerning the coming one. You know, he's going to be a savior, he's going to be a king, he's going to be a deliverer, he's going to do all these great and wonderful things, and he's going to be in the lineage of David, a kingdom that he's going to set up a kingdom that shall. So all this was in his mind. Are you the coming one? And Moses, you know, said God is going to send a prophet, and he's the one you need to listen to for a new covenant. And so all this was in their mind. Are you that one that the scriptures have been talking about? And at that very hour, Jesus had cured many of infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits, and to the blind he gave sight. So Jesus answered and said unto them, this is in Luke 7, beginning with verse 20, go and tell John the things that you have heard, you have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached unto him. And so a couple weeks ago, we talked about Isaiah 61, and then Jesus in the synagogue in Nazareth, and he read that passage very similar to what Jesus said he was doing now. And so the answer is yes. I'm doing the things that the prophets prophesied, those very things. And who could do those things but the Son of God? Yes, I am the coming one, and the kingdom of God is at hand. It's near. Yes, it's very near. Jesus was challenged one time, by whose authority do you cast out demons? And he went into that conversation. Well, Satan's not going to cast out Satan. And if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. It's at hand. You're seeing it unfold. It's near. It's very near. And along with that, he said, and this is at the end of his speech to the people that John the Baptist said in Luke 7:23, and blessed is he who is not offended because of me. And you know, a lot of people of his day were offended because he just wasn't the image that they had in their mind. And a kingdom of purity was far behind, didn't meet their expectations. They were thinking a political kingdom, a military kingdom, armies of David that could pursue their enemies and overcome them and rule them. That's what they were thinking. And some of them, can any good thing come out of Galilee, Nazareth of Galilee? Are you kidding me? And, you know, the things that Jesus said, you know, this is a kingdom of the heart. It's good news for the poor and broken heart. You think the rich and powerful, the high priest and the rulers, the princes and all this, you think they cared about the poor in spirit? Are you kidding me? But yet this is what Jesus, and a lot of people were offended by that. I need to repent? I haven't done anything wrong. I'm a good person. And yet Jesus said, really? Oh, if you broke one little commandment, you're guilty of the whole thing. You're a sinner. And the penalty for sin is death, eternal death, unless it's repented of and remitted through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. Repent and be immersed in water for the remission of your sins. And you talk to people today, they're really offended about this idea of sin. That's a sin? Are you kidding? Cindy and I talked to a person who was a friend a long time ago, had no idea that adultery or premarital sex was an abomination to the Lord. Had no idea. And a lot of people get offended because of that. Well, Jesus is just going to have to accept me the way I am. I'm too old to change. I'm set in my ways. And he'll just have to accept me. Well, no. He says he won't. Unless you repent, unless you believe, unless you confess that I am the Son of God, unless you're immersed in water for the remissions of sins, you shall perish. You shall not enter the kingdom of heaven, and you will spend eternity in darkness and torment. I had a professor of earth science at UMKC, and earth science is really a freshman course, but I'm so good at science that I kept putting it off till my senior year. So anyway, I was in this class, and it was huge. I mean, 150 people, 200 people, maybe. And the professor was a self-professed Christian, but he touted evolution. And the idea of 6 days of creation was just ridiculous. And if you want to believe that naive little story, well then, more power to you. But this is how it happened in any the billions of years and blah, 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 blah. Well, there was a young girl, and I tell you, I've got to admire her. She's the great course in 150 people. So she stood up. The guy got his attention, and I said, well, I believe in the 6 days of creation, and if I'm wrong, you know, what's going to happen to that? Nothing. But if you're wrong, what's going to happen to you? And he, you know what, this is what he said, and it was so remarkable. Well, let's see. He said, if God is big enough to create all that we see in 6 days and do all that the Bible said, he's big enough to forgive me. Well, that guy died before that term was over. And someone else took his place in the teaching. And I always wondered, what do you know now? And he found out the truth that God did create the heavens and the earth in 6 days by the power of His might and His word. And there's ample evidence, says Paul in Romans, just from creation, to understand that there must have been a eternal God and divine power behind all this. So we're without excuse. We might not know the particulars, but we should know this didn't just happen by accident. There was a divinity behind this. Blessed is he who is not offended to me, by me. See, the belief in, well, you look at John 1, who created during those 6 days? The Word. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and that was Jesus. So Jesus created this thing, and that offended that guy. That was naiveness at its highest point. But yet, there he is. Now he knows he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and the Creator of everything. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. Evolution is a lie. It was founded on false evidence and it's propagated by false science. It is a lie that Jesus is just a good man among many good men. It is a lie that Jesus is just a good teacher among many other good teachers. And it's a lie that Jesus is just another prophet of God, just as Mohammed and Joseph Smith. Those things are lies, and people promote them, and people believe them. And outside of the kingdom of heaven are all those people who believe and practice lies. It is a lie that you can enter the kingdom of God without believing in Jesus, repenting of your sins, confessing that He is the Christ, the Son of God, and being immersed in water for remissions of sin and receipt of the Holy Spirit. It's a lie that you can get into heaven, into the kingdom of heaven, without going through that process. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, the only begotten Father, our Lord and great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. That is the beginning of faith that leads us to perfect submission and obedience without offense. You know, I like what when the men on the day of Pentecost finally believed, oh, he is the Son of God, and we killed him. What can we do now? Oh, there is a way. And it was through the preaching of the gospel and their obedience to submit to the ordinance of immersion in water that their sins, those horrible sins that included putting to death in a cruel way the Son of God, were forgiven. All forgiven. And they received the Holy Spirit as a gift, which is a lifetime partner in our life and does many things for us. That is, and at that point, that God added them to the church. Jesus said in Caesarea Philippi, this is up there in the north, in the land of Zebulun and Naphtali that the prophet spoke about. Not a good place, a poor and desert place. Children of God had mingled with all the pagan nations. There was very little good up there. But from that place, a great light will appear unto the world. And when Jesus had done a lot of work in that, in the north up there, Galilee, his headquarters was in Capernaum, right there on the north and a little bit west of the Sea of Galilee. And that basically was his headquarters for a long time. A lot of works were seen there. And so, when Jesus was there, he asked, who do people say that I am? What do they think? And they said, well, some said that you are John the Baptist. John was probably beheaded at this time, and there was a lot of people. Herod was one that thought, well, maybe he's come back to life, John the Baptist. Or some say, Elijah. You're Elijah come back. Because it was promised that, remember, Elijah would come back, but Jesus said John the Baptist was Elijah. Others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. And he said to them, well, what about you? Who do you say that I am? And Peter, as quick as he was, before the others, said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And how does that work? It works the same way today. A lot of people saw the miracles that Jesus did. How do you raise the dead except the Son, the Spirit of God is with you? How do you heal people who were born blind and restore their sight without the Spirit of God with you? Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, we know that you are a prophet sent from God. No doubt about it. Nobody could do these things except God is with him. People knew that. And that's how God reveals it. And then those people had testimonies. You know what? They went back home and they told people, and you know what the people did? They rushed to see this. And they saw Jesus feeding thousands of people with just small baskets of food and having things left over. That's how he reveals it. He reveals it by the prophecies written 1,500 years before and seeing Jesus match up with them perfectly. That's beyond chance. Surely he wasn't. And God does that the same way. We believe the testimony. It makes sense. It's a reasonable thing. Something which we can defend. It is not a naive blend. And so he said, blessed art thou, Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter. And, you know, he named him Peter and Petra in the Greek, and that means the rock. So kind of a little play on here. Upon this rock, what is he talking about? He's talking about faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's the beginning. That's the foundation upon which our faith then grows and is strengthened. But it begins with the simple thing, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Yes. That's the beginning. Jesus said, upon the basis of people's faith, I will build my church. I will build my church. It's still in the future. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. See, I read it this time, and I didn't say the gates of heaven will prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. So you hear a connection here? I will build my church, and I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. I might say, so what is that relationship? So I bought this car, and here's the keys to the Cadillac. So am I implying that the car I bought is the Cadillac? I built this house, and here are the keys to the mansion. What are we saying? We're saying they're the same thing, aren't we? Or pretty much so. I think so. So I think here, the kingdom's not built yet, but I will build it based on your faith that I am the Christ, the Son of God, and I give you the keys to that kingdom. The kingdom is the church. Now, I think there's a few little differences, but we'll talk about that. But basically, they're the same thing. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And isn't that a remarkable power to give to a man? How could you do that? Well, these men were filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I will send you the Holy Spirit, and he will teach you all things. The Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead. He is the Godhead, along with the Word, which is the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Father, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And he will teach you all things that the Godhead wants you to learn. Truth and reality and the power to become the sons of God and the power to have your sins forgiven and to live eternally in the heaven. He will bring all things to remembrance, all that I've said. Can you imagine trying to remember 3.5 years of teaching? Word for word, because that's important stuff. But the Holy Spirit will make you remember those things exactly the way Jesus said them. John 16:13-3, he will guide you into all truth. He will speak to you what he hears from me. He shall receive of mine and show it to you. All that the Father has are the Son's. So what Jesus was speaking was the will of the Father. And what the Spirit is speaking through inspiration and revelation and confirmation and incorporation and in transformation is the will and the words of the Godhead. So when Peter stood up to speak, and any time an apostle spoke to people, he wasn't speaking Peterisms or Matthewisms or Johnisms. He was speaking the truth of God perfectly and plainly. That's why we need to believe it. A lot of people don't. A lot of people think, well, my opinion is just as good as Peter's. I heard that in the place where Brush Run. I talked to the man. I said, well, as long as we all believe that the Bible is the Word, the inspired Word of God, and we really diligently search it and try to understand it and practice it perfectly, we'll all come to a unity of the faith. And he said, well, I don't believe that. Well, how can there ever be unity if there is not, in reality, truth? You've got different ideas and desires, and if you built a church, it might be a whole lot different. But Jesus built, I will build my church. And I will send the Holy Spirit so He can tell you exactly what how I want it to be. And we must obey it. If we don't, we're going to be left out and cast into a terrible, dark place. The Lord our God is one God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And those three are in total agreement. So there is just one truth, one gospel, one faith, one baptism or immersion, one church. And they should be, every congregation of the Church of God should be the same. There's only one pattern. There's only one way. There's only one set of instructions. And they are intended to be followed. When Peter stood and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, it was not the words of Peter that the people were hearing, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, they were the words and the will of Jesus Christ. Acts, is there a comment? This is your chance.
And you need to take a breath. So.
Okay, let's turn to Acts 1. We are very close now. Very, very. We're 10 days away. 10 days away from when Jesus would build His church. Beginning in verse 1, Acts 1. The former treaties, this was written by Luke, and we can go to Luke and see kind of the same introduction here. The former treatise I have made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which He was taken up. So Luke wrote his gospel, and it was, you know, His birth, before His birth, and to the time He was taken up into heaven. After that, He, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles whom He had chosen, to whom also He showed Himself alive. You know, and we talked about that a little bit before. It was over 500 people that gave sworn testimony that, yes, He died, but now He is alive. So He showed, and His apostles were witness of that on several occasions. Verse 2, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of things, what? Pertaining to the kingdom of God. And then being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. What was that promise? I will not leave you comfortless, but I will send My Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And He shall guide you in the truth, all truth. He shall make you remember the things that I have taught you, and on and on. For the things which you have heard of Me. For John truly baptized with water. That was the righteous requirement of God in John's time. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Just like Abel was told by God to offer animal sacrifices for the remission of sins, and he did that by faith. Those sins were forgiven, but they were yet paid for. They were not paid for. You were forgiven of them because of your faith of what Jesus is going to do 4,000 years later. Moses came and said, you know, if you have committed sin, trespasses, and offenses, here's what you do to have those things remitted. You're no longer guilty of them, but they're not paid for. Not until Jesus came some 1,500 years and paid the debt, canceled the debt by His death and the shedding of His blood. And in the days of John, the same thing. Those people heard the message that now God requires you to repent and be immersed in water, and your sins will be remitted. You're no longer responsible for it. but they haven't been paid for yet. They haven't been paid for yet. But you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. So the promise is that. And it happened 10 days later, as we're about to read. And when they therefore were come together, they asked the big question. We know you're the Christ. We know you're the prophet that Moses spoke about. We know that you're the son of David, and we know that you're going to set up in a kingdom. Are you, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? They were thinking political. They were thinking who are going to be the right hand and the left hand of the King of Kings and the head of this great army. Who were going to lead all the important departments of a earthly kingdom. Misconceptions about the kingdom of heaven. Is that the same today? Oh yeah. But that's all going to be resolved through the teaching of the Spirit. So Jesus said unto him, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. You know, Daniel gave us a glimpse of history. This is the history of the early church right here in this one verse. Their preaching and establishing the church began in Jerusalem. They went to all different cities in Judea. They went into Samaria, Philip, remember, and began teaching there. They went into Antioch and began teaching the gospel there. And then finally, after the persecution of Saul, and especially after the destruction of Jerusalem, it went everywhere. To where the apostle could say, towards the end of his life, the gospel's been preached to every creature under heaven. Can you imagine that? Something so small and starting in not one of the cosmopolitan areas of the world. You know, that would be Rome. That would be Athens. That would be Ephesus. You know, Babylon or whatever. No, not Babylon. But anyway, cities like that. Judea was like a tree cut down at its roots, but yet this little branch sprung up. That branch was Jesus. And He built at that place, at that time, an eternal kingdom that shall never be destroyed. So they did those things, and they waited in Jerusalem, and while they were there, they chose Messiah. Matthias. I was right. I thought it was wrong. Matthias. And so there was 12. Acts 2, chapter 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, so that was 10 days after Jesus had finished His 40 days post-resurrection and ascended into heaven, they were all in one accord in one place, and suddenly came a sound from heaven. It sounded like a rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as unto fire, and it set upon each one, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And the first thing they do is begin to speak in tongues of at least 17 different nations, 17 different languages. And what they speak about, to speak with tongues as Spirit gave them utterance. I thought I said they spoke about the wonderful works of God. So anyway, this was This was miraculous. And people said, wow, these people are from Galilee. They're uneducated. They're unlearned. And they're speaking these languages that they weren't born with perfectly. You know, it's very, very hard to learn Spanish and to speak it like a Spaniard. It's very, very, very hard to speak, to learn Chinese and speak it like a Chinaman. It's almost impossible. And you understand, when people from Japan or China talk to you, you might communicate well and understand, but it's not Kansas City speak, you know. But yet these people spoke things in their tongue. I thought we'd get further. Any question or comment? But something wonderful is about to happen. Something wonderful is about to happen. Something that had been planned before the foundations of the earth were laid. No comment? Some of you, when I asked some of you what would you like to study, you said the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom. So if you got a question, maybe you don't want to speak it here, but please write it down and hand it to me. And we'll answer it, because this is of no effect if you don't understand it and you don't get it, or if you have questions about it. So if you do, get with me, and I may already have planned to talk about that, but maybe I haven't, so it would be a legitimate thing to do. It is time. Thank you.